The following program is paid programming. The views expressed on the following program are those of its hosts and participants, and nowhere reflect those of the ownership, staff, or advertisers of WNRI.
Boston Salads brings their pasta primavera, $4.89 a pound. And boneless chicken breasts, again, $2.99 a pound. Don't forget, you can get your shortcut chicken breast strips. And this is a pretty good price for these, $3.89 a pound. They're going, I would say, five or greater for one on sale at most places. Here you're getting for $3.89, 8-ounce package of shortcut chicken breast strips. Have I had them? Yes. Are they good? Yeah, I like them. And they're perfect for a quick lunch, a quick meal. You can just warm them right up there in the microwave. No problem. It heats up nice. I've used them in salads, green salads, not, you know, making a chicken salad. I've used them in wraps. I've used them in stir fries. They're really handy. Shortcuts, chicken breast strips, $3.89, 8-ounce package available now through close of business. Next Thursday is part of the great sales by Low General Convenience Stores owners and their suppliers, working hard for you to keep your prices affordable. And Häagen-Dazs ice cream, the Cadillac of ice cream, on sale at Low General this week, $4.99 a pint, and that is a good price for the world's premier ice cream, Häagen-Dazs. No offense to Ben or Jerry. Those are the sale items this week at Low General stores everywhere. We'll be right back.
Recipe for a good day brought to you by Little General Convenience Stores, with locations for your shopping needs throughout the Blackstone Valley. 2 in Woonsocket, Manville Road, and Cumberland Hill Road. Great Road, North Smithfield. Chapel Street in Burrowville. And Central Avenue in Pawtucket. Always hot, always fresh coffee stations to get your day started. Grab and go meals perfectly prepared for you, whether it's for an easy lunch to get you through your work day or to make an easy, satisfying dinner to end your day. And of course, delicious deli items, from top-of-the-line lunch meats to top-of-the-line steak and chicken products. Oh, and of course, always fresh ground hamburg. Stay up to date on each week's sale items by going online at littlegeneral.com. Your convenience store with more. Little General, where you always get a smile, a please, and a thank you. Open every day, including today. Proud sponsors of Recipe for a Good Day, Little General Convenience Stores.
Split bananas, take Easter eggs and make them die. But I never harmed an onion, so why should they make me cry? Well, once I saw salad dressing, my face got radish, my oh my. But I never harmed an onion, so why should they make me cry? Potatoes I've mashed and berries I've crushed. I've made an artichoke, and that's not all. I've also whipped cream and beaten an egg. Yes, I've even made a melon ball. Of all the things above, I'm guilty. If punished, I would know just why. But I've never harmed an onion, so why should they make me?
That's a good good question. Well, because your knife is too dull. Sharpen that knife, you won't get as much of that sulfur. You won't get as much on your hands. That onion juice you put in your eyes makes your eyes boil. You know what I'm talking about. Welcome back to Recipe for a Good Day. We're going to be talking some beef, some steak. Boneless New York sirloin steak, $5.99 a pound. You think of that? You cut it in half. You're making dinner for two. You're talking about 2 8-ounce boneless New York sirloin steaks for $3. That is a great deal. But we're going to cover some interesting things about steaks and how to pick your steak. Because it's really what it all boils down to, isn't it? You got to choose the right thing. We were talking about that on actually Primetime Talk the other day about you when you cook and you go shopping, don't be in a rush because you're going to shortchange yourself, especially in the produce department. So we're going to talk about New York strip sirloin. It's cut from the upper sirloin of the cow. You may have guessed that, right? But what is that? It's the area behind the ribs, halfway back to the snout. Sirloin is a cut of meat. You're going to marinate this steak and it helps tenderize it. I think whether you do it on the grill, whether you do it in your oven, I always marinate my steaks, regardless of what type it is. The sirloin area, the New York sirloin versus a sirloin, it's a particular cut of sirloin. The boneless section, that's why it's boneless New York sirloin. That's cut from the top of the sirloin, meaning it's extra tender and tasty, and you can find bone-in New York steaks are prepared before the bone is removed, which gives it a little extra meaty flavor. That's the whole key to a New York sirloin steak, strip sirloin steak, the steak that you would otherwise miss. A bone-in strip steak is a little different. That's what you call a Kansas City steak. Now, strip steaks almost always come from the short loin. Again, is it different from ribeye? Well, yes, it is different than a ribeye. The New York sirloin steak, though, if you're talking about selecting your cut of steak, you got to consider what are you making, first of all, and what type of steak you want. But the thinner cuts of steak you might look at, they can be a little price lower. If it's less than a steak, though, it's not what you want on your dinner plate as a main course. The thinner cuts, sandwiches, stir flies, and so on like that. And then many cuts of the steak at the top of the heap, you're going to be looking at. You get distracted with colors and so on and so forth. So if you're choosing a steak, what exactly should you be looking at? Because all steaks are not created equal. So what are you looking for? When buying a steak, no matter what type of steak you buy, this is universal stuff. Keep these guidelines in mind. The meat should have a good color. It should look moist, but not wet. If the package looks too moist, skip that package. So you want to see a little moisture on the meat, but you don't want a wet package. Any cut edges should be even, not ragged. So look for a nice, even cut, not jagged edges. When buying packaged meats, avoid any with tears or liquid in the bottom of the tray. Again, making sure that you're not too watery. The meat should feel firm and to the touch. Now, the most common types of steak, again, when you're dealing with the sirloin, you want to keep a close eye on sirloin steaks during your cooking. They can dry out quickly if they overcook. It is going to help you if you do marinate it, even though it's a tender or cut, it does help. And if you're picking a good sirloin steak, choose one of the two cuts, a top sirloin. Best way to cook it, broil, grill, skillet, stir fry, it doesn't matter. As long as you prepare it, whether you're cutting it into cubes, it's great for kebabs, it's great for a triangle steak. The sirloin steaks, you want a nice marbling, but again, you don't want it to look pale. You don't want it to look over moist. And that's universal to any type of beef that you might buy, any type of steak. You can use those tips in there. Buying a steak and cooking it out of the fridge, we've talked about that. You have to have it at room temperature. That's another big mistake. People always talk to me about that. I thought you weren't supposed to leave meat out. Well, you're getting it to room temperature. You're not leaving out all afternoon. That's for sure. And it's coming out of the fridge. It will not come out right. You'll get a nice charred outside, but if your steaks are coming out undercooked at home, you get those nice inch thick steaks, and the outside's right where you want it to be, and you think it looks great from the outside, and then you cut it open, and it bleeds all over the plate. It's undercooked because you're not getting it to room temperature, so it takes too long to cook inside, and you get that gray color, that dry texture, very little taste, very chewy. When the steak gets on the heat, the muscle fibers tighten. They cook unevenly. So if you plan to cook a steak, take it out of the fridge, unwrap it, let it rest on the plate 25, 30 minutes. The best case scenario is just cook it right when you get it fresh home from the deli. But who does that? It always ends up in your fridge and sometimes even in your freezer. Cooking wet steak is a problem. You rinse your steak. You don't dry it. Of course you do. Your goal is to get a crispy crust outside these sirloin steaks. You don't want them soggy and moist. You want to eat a steak that tastes like it was broiled. So once the meat sat around for 30 minutes, pat it down. Dry it off. Paper towels. Gary used to talk about that all the time. Absorb that extra moisture. Throw the paper towel in the trash right away, though. Don't pat down the meat and then wipe a kitchen utensil with it, or you could help. It's all about spreading bacteria. The meat juices will also you get blood on. You could stain your tablecloth. Well, that'd make the wife mad. So once it's patted down, you can season the steak. So multiple options for the right seasoning piece of steak. One way is to season it is right out of the fridge. The way the meat will start to sweat a bit as the moisture is drawn out by the salt. The spices get reabsorbed within 30 minutes or so while it's coming to room temperature. So that is perfect for seasoning. If you season a piece of steak right before cooking and sear it right away, the natural juices will stay inside the meat instead of being drawn out to the surface. But the decision on the timing is all about you. Dill, cinnamon, mint, that won't pair well with steaks. Stick with the tried and true basics. Popular steak seasonings, garlic powder, kosher salt, freshly ground pepper, onion powder, rosemary pairs well with the beef, and other, you can get some good steak mixes, like a steakhouse blend, for instance. Those are always terrific. Overdoing it with ingredients. Meat is meat. The steak is the meal itself. A little bit of butter when it rests, a little bit of rosemary. Don't drown it with glazes, cream sauces. They're better off with a little bit. Let the meat be a delight. And my gosh, nothing's more annoying than at the house. And you work so hard on the steak and you get it perfect. You get it right where she wants it and medium well. Tough target to hit. And she smatters it with ketchup. Now, she does that every time. You see, you kill me. Just taste it first, will you? Oh, I like mine with ketchup. No, you just like ketchup. It doesn't matter what it's on. It always tastes the same. Now, do you brush oil on your steak before broiling it or grilling it? If not, you should. Remember, you're grilling at high temperatures, so you're broiling in ovens. That's also cooked on high when on stovetop, so you got to be careful. So this means choose an oil with a very high smoke point. The steak will get covered in smoke and ruined if you don't, and it'll taste terrible. So according to Charbroil, there's also the risk of flare-up, which could burn the steak and also cause an oil fire. You don't want that to happen, so never leave your grill unattended. So don't use vegetable or olive oils on steak. Lower smoke points. You're going to use a high heat to get that sear. So you're talking about a light olive oil, canola oil, cold-pressed peanut oil, natural canola oils, fine frying steaks. Instead of brushing the oil on right before cooking, though, add it to the seasoning. Make an oil blend seasoning. And you're saying, what's the difference? The seasoning is going in there. The oil is going in there. All I can tell you is equate it to herb the butter. For the turkey process, you would rub butter under the skin. And then you would season with herbs. Rosemary, thyme, whatever you're going to use. I use a garlic and onion, et cetera, et cetera. You melt the butter. You make an herb butter. You refrigerate it, and then you use that to treat the turkey. It makes a drastic difference as opposed to using butter and putting the seasonings on top. The same thing with the oil. If you go to a nice restaurant, they have nice cuts of bread, and there's usually a plate with some oil and the herbs mixed in. That's exactly what you're going to do, just like that. So mix the seasoning in with your oil before adding it to the meat. So instead of just brushing the oil on, again, make the seasoning. Use that to get it to stay and a coat rather nicely, too. Broiling it the wrong way may sound like a silly thing, but it happens all the time. Unlike grilling, broilers use a heat source from the top, not the bottom. So that's a big difference, the heating elements inside the oven. So it works good for leaner cuts of meat. Sirloin and strip steaks is fine. But if you're using an inch and a half type beef, then you're better off on the grill and not broiling it. Because remember, it's on the top, so not getting that meat from the bottom. The best to use a broiler pan for steak, though, since the top part has a grid, so the fat drains right through and you're not making a mess in a smoky oven. So place your seasoned steak in the broiler, then to the oven. You'll stay nearby. The top is brown. Flip it over. Wait another 5 to 10 minutes. No single way to broil all cuts of steak. High-powered broilers can cook sirloin steak in about 2 to 3 minutes per side. So if you have a filet mignon in New York strip, you can sear both sides in the pan first, transfer it to the preheated 500-degree oven for 5 minutes instead of broiling them as well. Never cook it on a dirty grill. I mean, it's that time. If you're going to be out, maybe not this weekend, but definitely it looks like the weekend after, you'll be getting that grill going up. Never cook a grill, all that chicken breast that's on sale at Little General Stores for $2.99 a pound, boneless, skinless chicken breast at that. Don't. It spreads bacteria. A higher chance for a fire as the grease really builds up. Frequent cleaning. Clean that grill. It'll take longer, but your food will taste better. Don't be afraid to make those grill marks either. I'll make them 7 ways this Sunday. Grill marks, burns a flavor. Your steak will taste better. It's that simple. And did you know that you can flip your steak the wrong way? Like over flipping it. Back and forth. Steaks, now listen to the words here, must be flipped at least once during the cooking to brown on both sides to cook evenly. It doesn't make sense to test the temperature before doing so. A side's not in direct contact with heat will have a different temperature. And never use a fork. Oh, I should have heard. Stick the fork into the meat. What's the point of searing it? Now all the juices are escaping through the holes. Never flip your steak when it's cooking with the fork. Tongs, spatula, metals, great. Do it once. That's the traditional way. So how do you know? Well, you'll be flipping the steak once. You're going to put the steak on. By the way, the steaks have that fat. If you make a little cut into that fat rind on the outside, it'll avoid the curl up when it shrinks. And if your steaks are curling up and you don't like it, you can make a little cut in that fat round. That'll help you weed out the curled beef. Not using a meat thermometer is a trick, especially if you're trying to get that medium rare or the medium well. What are you looking for a steak? Well, I'm going to give rare. Some people like rare. Some people want it to moo on the plate. Some people want it to move. If you remove the steak from its heat source 5 to 10 minutes before you're ready to eat it, that's why that meat thermometer is crucial, because as it rests, continues to cook. And that temperature is going to go up. And that's how, if you go right to the desired meat temperature, you're going to have a dry piece of meat. The tab of butter will help, but it's going to continue to rise the internal temperature. So push the thermometer into the center of the meat, avoiding your fat, avoiding any bone. And for a rare steak, you're looking at 125. For a medium rare, you're looking at 135. For a medium, you're looking at 145. For medium well, you're looking at 150. If you like it well done, then you should be above the 150 mark. And yes, I've tried this. If you want it super easy, take that 1 pound 599 New York sirloin boneless steak, cut it in half, take an 8-ounce steak portion of that, because one thing about air fryers, they're not very big, and air fry it. You are going to love it. It's easy to clean. It cooks quick. It cooks perfect. They use extremely high heat, cooks the meat nice and even as the air radiates around it. You don't have to do anything different for your prep. Prep it the same way. And, of course, the cooking time is going to greatly adjust. The cooking times for air-fried steaks range from 5 to 20 minutes, depending on how thick and the type of steak. The air fryer, 400 degrees, seems to be the ceiling for it. So place your steak in the basket. Don't crowd them up. The air has to move all the way around them. That's why if you got to do them in two batches, just do it in two batches. You don't need to sear them ahead of time either. They should be flipped halfway through the cooking process as you're looking at the clock. And again, only flip it once. For air fryer's heat comes from the top. Once the top has browned, turn it over and cook both sides. So it works just like the broiler. And yes, do let it rest. That is always a problem. Let that meat rest. The juices, when they cook, will... If you take the steak right out of the oven, you've probably noticed this before. You're really hungry. It comes out of the oven. You put it on there. You put it on your plate. You take your knife and you're cutting it to try a bite. What happens? Well, the juices flood your plate because they haven't been reabsorbed into the meat yet. And that is all your flavor and tenderness and juiciness that you just threw away on your steak. The juice goes to the middle. Pressure builds up. It cooks. Now, when you rest it, the juices distribute from the middle back to the edges, and that is crucial. That is crucial. So wait up to 10 minutes on some of the thicker steaks. 5 to 7 minutes is fine on the thinner steaks. You can place it on a warm plate or cutting board. That won't continue to cook it, but rest it for half as long. Here's your rule of thumb. Another option. Oh, you know, they call it an old mother's recipe. You let the meat rest half the time it was cooked, you'll be fine. You'll be absolutely fine. So there's some do's and don'ts, some mistakes, some tips on getting into steak season as we are entering grilling season very shortly. Once we're through probably this week of cold, blustery, damp weather, it will improve. Yes, I promise you. It will improve. So there's our steak tips for the day. We're going to have a new edition of Reynolds Wrap coming to you in a moment. But first, I want to remind you, if you have a recipe or a question or a topic you want to hear on Recipe for a Good Day, you can email the program. If you have a question from your kitchen or a recipe you'd like to share, we'd love to hear from you. Just email the show at askthechef@wnri.com. That's askthechef@wnri.com.
I forgot to listen to Recipe for a Good Day. How do I go shopping now? What's on sale this week? I don't know what to feed Punky the Monkey.
Well, Anna Marie, we have you covered. All at LittleGeneral.com. That's where you can find out what's on sale this week at all Little General locations. And now can listen to past editions of Recipe for a Good Day. Just go to LittleGeneral.com. You'll see the tab for the weekly flyer. Click that. You'll see the specials this week at all Little General locations. And at the bottom of the page, you'll see the link to listen to Recipe for a Good Day. So if you miss a show or are unable to write down a recipe, now you can go listen anytime at your time at LittleGeneral.com.
That Reynolds Wrap by here, Betty?
You betcha, Pat.
Reynolds Wrap makes this whole cooking and cleanup thing so easy.
Reynolds Wrap makes good food better.
The great thing about Reynolds Wrap is it's the one wrap you can depend on.
Just a little Reynolds Wrap can do more for a woman than any other wrap.
Once we turn the calendars to April, it's usually expected to start finding a new bounty of vegetation particular to springtime. My fellow gastronomes, far be it from me to exclude the great flavors, nutrition, and kitchen-friendly items that began life underground. Yes, tis the proper time to raid your favorite grocer's produce department with the delight of a child at Yuletide. Now, we've gone over menu planning, budgeting, and inviting your favorite people over for a light lunch or an afternoon snack for the children, or even a small gathering at home before heading out to be active in whatever community event you're part of. Spring is here, and with it becomes a bounty of fresh and delicious spring vegetables. As the weather warms up and the days get longer, and yes, it is doing so. Farmers are bringing in a variety of greens, root vegetables, and delicate shoots that are perfect for incorporating into your meals. From asparagus and artichokes to peas and radishes, man, there are so many delicious options to choose from. In this segment, we'll take a little look at some of the most popular spring vegetables and discuss how to prepare them in a variety of ways. Whether you're a seasoned cook or just starting out, there's something for everyone in this guide to spring vegetables. And we will take a couple of weeks to do that because next week, we're going to take a little trip to Maine to find a particular vegetable that is very seasonal, very easy to use, and very delicious. So, let's get started and explore the delicious world of spring produce. Now, my focus today is on North American spring vegetables. Many veggies can be bought year-round because they're shipped from all around the world. But there is something to be said for buying locally grown veggies in peak season, or even better, just growing some of these yourself. Most of America's favorite spring veggies are off-the-chart healthy. They all tend to be high in vitamin C and provide a wide variety of micronutrients and fiber. Dietitians all agree that making vegetables an integral part of your diet can aid in lowering blood pressure, boosting your immune system, and potentially aiding in weight loss. Now, I've got a little chart that you can look up. And this features various vegetables with fiber measured in grams, vitamin C and A measured in the daily percentage of your recommended daily requirements. For instance, artichokes only have 47 calories, 5.4 grams of fiber, and 20% of your needed vitamin C. Here's another one, asparagus, only 20 calories, 2.1 grams of fiber, and 9% of vitamin C, but 15% of your vitamin A. Check this out. How about broccoli? I love broccoli and cauliflower. 34 calories per serving, 2.6 grams per fiber. However, it has 149% of your recommended daily requirement of vitamin C and 12% of vitamin A. Here's another great one. Leeks, you know, from the onion family. 61 calories, 1.8 percentage of grams of fiber, 20% of your vitamin C, and 33% of vitamin A. So it really does help your diet and your overall well-being to incorporate more vegetables. That's it for this segment for Recipe for a Good Day, sponsored by Little General Stores. I'm Johnny Reynolds, and that's a wrap.
Reynolds Wrap. Wouldn't you hate to be without it?
A recipe for a good day brought to you by Little General Convenience Stores, your neighborhood store. Why fight the lines at the big box chains when Little General Convenience Stores has what you need? Selling only the best quality brands like Gorelick Farms, Boston Salads Prepared Foods, KM, and Purdue. Little General also sells lottery, tobacco products, and yes, of course, your stop for your daily newspapers. Weekly specials change every Monday, so check online at littlegeneral.com for this week's specials. Plus, LittleGeneral.com is the place to go for the delicious recipes you heard here on A Recipe for a Good Day. So whether you're picking up food or products for your home, or if you're looking for food or coffee on the go, shop your neighborhood store. Little General Convenience Stores, open 8 days a week.
Try the salami, Tommy. Give it the gravy, Davy. Everybody eats when they come to my house. Try a tomato plate too. Here's cacciatore, Dory. Taste the bologna, Tony. Everybody eats when they come to my house. I fix your favorite dishes, hoping this good food fills ya. Work my hands to the bone in the kitchen alone. You better eat if it kills ya. Pass me a pancake mandrake. Having a derby irby. Look in the fendel mendel. Everybody eats when they come to my house.
Yeah,
Recipe for a Good Day Thursday as we continue on our new day in our next month, our second month here on our Thursday morning get-together. We are continuing to highlight the boneless New York sirloin steaks, $5.99 a pound. We're going to just give you some, maybe some inspiration or ideals. And as always, when any of the recipes are ideas, we share with you. If you are interested, you can just email askthechef@wnri.com and we will send you. We'll scan and send you so you don't have to search too far for the recipes. We're going to start using the, again, $5.99 New York sirloin steak. We're going to get, we're going to cut it in half. You're going to make 2 8-ounce sirloins. You're going to cook it as a pound of steak, of course. You're going to cut it into 2 8-ounce pieces, excuse me. You're going to need some, we're going to make a minute steak. This sounds amazing. It looks delicious. You're going to love it. Minute steak with egg and red hot butter sauce. Start your day. Yeah, steak is great for breakfast. You get a nice dose of protein without any carbs or starches or sugars. You get a nice start your day with an energy protein, juicy tenderloin steak, sirloin steak, excuse me, topped with perfectly fried egg and red hot butter sauce. And it's just ready in minutes. How quick can you whip this together? I'm telling you. The prep time, 5 minutes. It takes 10 minutes to cook. That's how quick this dish comes together. So you got your sirloin steak, you cut it in half. Salt and freshly ground pepper to taste. You're going to need some breadcrumbs. You can use 8 teaspoons of breadcrumbs, 4 tablespoons of clarified butter melted, 2 large eggs, 2 teaspoons of additional teaspoons of butter that's melted. You're going to use 2 teaspoons of butter at room temperature as well. And 1 tablespoon of Louisiana-style hot sauce or your red hot sauce, your Kraft hot sauce, whatever your preferred hot sauce is. 2 teaspoons of water and 1 teaspoon of sliced green onions. I checked with Booker T and EMGs, and he's fine with that. The steps, not complicated. Again, it's 5 minutes of prep time. You get your ingredients together. You're simply going to place the steak between 2 pieces of plastic wrap. You're going to do it twice. You get two halves. And again, you're looking for a nice thickness. You're going to season one side generously with some salt and pepper. Then you're going to sprinkle half of the breadcrumbs over the top. You can place the plastic wrap back over the steak, pound it a few times with the meat mallet. It's going to push everything into it, and repeat to season the other side the same way. Salt, pepper, and your remaining breadcrumbs. Meanwhile, set your pan over high heat. Add 2 tablespoons of melted butter and wait for it to start to smoke. Then quickly, carefully add the steak to the pan. Cook it for a minute, flip the steak, reduce the heat to a medium-high heat, and cook it until you see the little bit of pink juice pool at the top of the steak, about 1 minute more or so. Then flip it off the heat, transfer the steak to a warm plate. Let the pan cook for about 30, 60 seconds. Add 1 teaspoon of melted butter. Turn the heat to medium. Add your egg. Just break the egg white so it's all the same thickness and the yolk is in the center. Add a pinch of salt. Cook it till the egg white is cooked through. The brown, crispy edges will appear. Place the egg on top of that steak now. Then add room temperature butter on top of that. And then add hot sauce to that warm plate. Swirl the pan. Get all that butter melted. Infuse it with that hot sauce. Stir in the if it's too thick, that's where your 2 teaspoons of water do come into play. It'll help it separate, of course. You can spoon the sauce over your steak and eggs and garnish it with some chives if you want. I don't like chives, so I would leave them out. But this is a great meal to start your day utilizing boneless New York sirloin steak, not just for dinner and lunch anymore. Yes, breakfast too. So many things you can make with boneless New York sirloin steak. Like, for instance, beef teriyaki. How about beef teriyaki with broccoli? It's a simple recipe. What are your ingredients? Now, again, 5 minutes to prep, 20 minutes to cook. So these are not labor-intensive meals, and you can have your own beef teriyaki at a tremendous savings. 1 2/3 cup of water, 1 1/2 cup of uncooked gluten-free white rice, or glutinous, excuse me. Well, I'm so used to say gluten-free. Glutinous white rice. One 14-ounce can of beef broth. 2 tablespoons cornstarch. 2 tablespoons of soy sauce. 1 tablespoon of packed brown sugar. 1/4 teaspoon of garlic powder. 1 pound of boneless beef New York sirloin steak. Cut them into thin strips. And you're going to need 4 cups of fresh broccoli florets. So bring some water and rice to a boil in a saucepan over medium-high heat. Reduce that heat then to medium-low once it does get to boil. And you're going to simmer that rice. Get it nice and tender. The liquid gets absorbed about 20 minutes. Now, when the rice is almost finished, you're going to whisk the broth, the cornstarch, the soy sauce, the brown sugar, and the garlic powder together in the bowl until they become combined. Now heat a large skillet over some medium-high heat. Add in your beef. Cook it until it's browned and juices start to evaporate. So good. 3 to 4 minutes. Then stir in your broccoli, that cornstarch mixture. Return it to a boil and cook it until it gets nice and thick. And you just serve it right over some hot rice. That'd be nice. The beef teriyaki can be made right in your own home. Well, now it's time for another Seasonings Greetings with Johnny Reynolds on the ingredients in your kitchen that bring flavor and flair.
And now, it's time for Seasonings Greetings, a segment dedicated to all things that add flavor to our favorite food. And here is your host of Seasonings Greetings, the Sage of Stroganoff, the Baron of Barbecue, the Prince of Piccata, Johnny Reynolds Jr.
My fellow gastronomes, this is a segment based on what we know as French parsley. Now, I know that cilantro is known as Mexican parsley, and then we have the flat-leaf Italian parsley. What I'm talking about today is a plant called chervil, C-H-E-R-V-I-L, a delicate annual herb related to parsley. It was formerly called myrrhs due to its volatile oil with an aroma similar to the resinous substance myrrh. It's commonly used to season mild flavored dishes and a constituent of the French herb mixture fine herbe. The name chervil is from the Anglo-Norman, from Latin, meaning leaves of joy. Now, what better time of year than now to talk about fresh joy? It's a member of the Apiaceae. Chervil is native to the Caucasus, but was spread by the Romans through most of Europe, where it is now naturalized. The Caucasus is a transcontinental region between the Black Sea and the Caspian Sea, mainly comprising of Armenia, Azerbaijan, Georgia, and parts of southern Russia. It's also grown frequently in the United States, where it sometimes escapes cultivation. The plants grow 16 to 28 inches with leaves that may be curly. The small white flowers form small umbels, 1 to 2 in a cross, and the fruit is about 1 centimeter long, oblong ovoid, with a slender ridged beak. Chervil is used particularly in French cooking to season poultry, seafood, young spring vegetables like we just talked about, like carrots, and soups and sauces. It's a little more delicate than parsley. It has a faint taste of licorice or aniseed. Chervil has also been used in folk medicine. At one time, it was claimed to be useful as a digestive aid for lowering high blood pressure and infused with vinegar for curing hiccups. Besides its digestive properties, it's also used as a mild stimulant. Chervil has been implicated in strimer dermatitis due to spray form, weed trimmers, and similar forms of contact. Chervil is particularly delicious with eggs, either added to an omelet or sprinkled on scrambled eggs. It can also bring a fresh kick when added to lightly dressed salads. Now, on one hand, nothing else will really taste like chervil. On the other hand, however, either parsley or tarragon, or even better, a combination of the two, can add that fresh green herb note in a recipe when chervil can't be really found. Chives or dill, which also pair so well with eggs and delicate greens, can work in place of chervil, even though the taste is really different. Now then, let's talk about its medicinal benefits. It's kind of limited overall, according to articles published in the Asian Journal of Plant Science and other journals. There is some evidence that chervil benefits may include acting as a natural digestive aid, helping to settle the stomach, acting as a mild stimulant and mood lifter, and who can't use one of those? Reducing fluid retention, as it acts as a natural diuretic to increase urine discharge. treating menstrual cramps, treating coughs and acting like an expectorant, since it facilitates secretion of mucus from the respiratory system, lowering high blood pressure, helping reduce hiccups when combined with vinegar, managing gout symptoms, supporting joint health and liver function, treating pockets of infection like an abscess, relieving eczema symptoms, hemorrhoids, cellulite, and varicose veins. It could also help reduce redness, swelling, injuries, and scars affecting the skin, which is why it's sometimes Sherbal is found in some natural skin cleansers, lotions, and blemish treatments. And finally, it's also good for treating irritation of the eyes. It's believed that many of the same benefits attributed to parsley are also true of Sherbal. Sherbal contains active constituents in the form of volatile oils and antioxidants like flavonoids and coumarins that give it these health-promoting effects. I hope this helps, and I hope you go buy Sherbal on a regular basis for your recipes. Now, let's get back to more Recipe for a Good Day on WNRI. I'm Johnny Reynolds.
Find us a brand new recipe.
All right, we do have a brand new recipe for you here on Recipe for a Good Day. That's what we do each and every Thursday, talk with you about food, talk to you about cooking, tips, strategies, tips, recipes, and it's all brought to you by Low General Convenience Stores, your convenience store with more. Lots of great items on sale this week. We have the Hummel Brothers smoked turkey breasts, my personal favorite of the turkey breast luncheon meats. Can't wait to pick that up. Maple leaf bologna, $4.89 a pound. Maple leaf skinless franks, $5.99 a pound. From Kragus, it's imported ham for $5.89 a pound. Genoa hot sweet capicola, $7.99 a pound. The boneless chicken breast, boneless skinless chicken breast, $2.99 a pound at the General. And the item that we're featuring on today's program is the boneless New York sirloin steak for $5.99 a pound. We've been making a comment about, you think about it, you cut that in half, you're getting 2 8-ounce sirloins for the incredibly low price of $3 a piece. I mean, you're not going to match that in any dining facility. But you'll get it at Little General Convenience Stores, and we're giving you some ideas on how to cook it. And one of the things that I can't believe is as popular as it is, it's so hot, is jalapenos. Oh, people love jalapenos. They love them to pop. They love them on the side. They love them straight. They love them down. The grilled jalapeno steak is what we're going to be making. A nice, spicy, delicious kick. And it does have a marinade. And you can marinate. I say, why not go 24 hours? There's no reason not to. Pretty much all the marinades now I'm doing at the house. Well, unless I was doing fish, but you know, fish is very unique. But I'm talking about hard meat, red meat. Red meat, no matter what cut it is getting a 24-hour marinade if I'm marinating it. Why do 30 minutes? Those 30-minute marinades you see them on the bottle? Nah, okay, I get you. It's good marketing. But when I first discovered the 24-hour marinating was at Little General Convenience Stores. Roger Lapierre invited me down there. There was a food truck that was pitching a new product. It was a buttermilk fried chicken, I do believe. And it was a 24-hour marinade, of course, in buttermilk. It was ravishing. But I said, this is incredibly tender. And you told me about the 24-hour marinade. So all my beef, red meat, gets a 24-hour marinade right now. What do you need? Well, again, this is quick and easy. You're talking 5 minutes to prep, 10 minutes to cook. Now, if you're going to marinate it overnight, you can factor in 8 hours, but you're not working the fridges. So combine your jalapenos, your lime juice, your garlic.
Oh, by the way, don't forget to stem your jalapeno. I guess you have to tell people that these days in this day and age. Otherwise, they'll be eating the stems. Combine your jalapenos, lime juice, your garlic, your oregano, your salt, your pepper, all in a blender and blend it until it comes out nice and smooth. And then you're going to take your steak and you're going to place it. Of course, you've cut your steak already. And don't use a serrated edge. Use a nice sharp, boom. Make a nice cut, nice even cut like we talked about. Check your packages for serrated edges. So don't bring it home to make serrated edges. Just a thought there. So place your steak in a shallow pan, or you can use a large resealable plastic bag. And you're going to pour that jalapeno marinade over the steak and turn it to coat it. Then cover the pan, or you can just seal the bag, marinate it in the fridge. 8 hours or overnight, 24 hours, whatever you want to do. But I'll be one that'll put it in for the 24-hour marinade. If you're going to use a grill, like we can use a grill on this one. You can preheat your outdoor grill for a high heat. If you're going to do it inside, you're looking for a high heat. We're going to lightly oil the grate. We don't want to lose the good part of the chicken when we pull it off, so you don't want it sticking. Remove the steak from the marinade. Cook on the preheated grill. So whatever you want for doneness. We covered the temperatures for medium rare, rare, medium well, and well. And we even covered rare for conversation's sake. So remove it from the marinade. Cook it on your preheated grill to wherever you want it done. Just about 5 minutes, 5-6 minutes per side, depending on how you like it, should be absolutely fine. Undercooking steak can still be dangerous, and don't eat it raw. Just don't even feed it to your dog raw. How about something a little different? I know we've had a lot of heat on today's program. How about a garlicky blue cheese steak? A garlicky blue cheese steak. Doesn't that sound good? Grilled, topped with garlic and blue cheese butter. And again, 15 minutes to prep, 6 minutes to cook. So you're still dealing with less than 20 minutes after your ingredients are out to make this recipe. 6 tablespoons of butter, softened, not melted. Softened, not melted. 2 ounces of blue cheese. 1 2-pound beef top sirloin steak cut into 4 equal pieces. Salt and ground black pepper to taste. 12 drops of liquid smoke flavoring is optional if you want to give it that authentic feel. And we'll go with 2 tablespoons of minced garlic, or as it says, to taste. The steps for this garlicky blue cheesesteak is very simple. Again, it's 6 minutes to once you have your ingredients together to cook this meal. Now, again, if you're marinating, the first step is get it in the marinade. Period. If you're going to go overnight, get it in there right away. If you're not, still get it in there for a marinade. But you're going to preheat your countertop oven to the oven at medium-high heat on the grill setting. Then mix the butter and your blue cheese together in a mixing bowl and put it in the refrigerator until it's ready to use. Set it and forget it. Season steak pieces on one side with salt and pepper, and then you had them flip and add 3 drops of liquid smoke. Salt and pepper to each steak. Place it on the grill pan. Choose oven. Set the timer for about 6 minutes. You're going to flip the steak pieces after about 3 minutes or so. Spread the minced garlic evenly on top of the meal. And then again, continue to cook. Allow the steaks to rest, though, a few minutes, several minutes before leaving the plate. Even before driving away. Make sure that everything is hunky. Dory. So that is a very simple garlicky blue cheese steak. And that leaves us one recipe left for the program. And yeah, we are going back overseas. We're going to an easy sirloin Thai salad. Little interesting there. I'm going to tell you about the dressing first, if you want to make your own dressing. 3 tablespoons of honey. 2 tablespoons of chunky or creamy all-natural peanut butter. 2 tablespoons of hot water. 1 tablespoon of reduced sodium soy sauce. 1 tablespoon of rice or white vinegar. And 1 teaspoon of sesame oil. The directions are even simpler. Actually, I can tell you it takes less time to cook it than it did to go shopping for the ingredients. Meanwhile, you're going to whisk the dressing ingredients together. And so what are the homemade ingredients for your meal? Such as, we are going to enjoy placing that beefsteak on a griddle of medium, ash-covered coals, if you're going to do coals. If you're going to grill it, you're going to cover it for 11 to 15 minutes over medium heat. You're going to preheat that gas grill for about 15 minutes, medium rare, about 145. Again, medium, once you see, turn it occasionally. The dressing, what do you need for it? 3 tablespoons of the honey, again, the 2 tablespoons of peanut butter, the 2 tablespoons of hot water, the 1 tablespoon of reduced sodium soy sauce, and do reduce the sodium. It makes a drastic difference on the salt content. And 1 teaspoon of rice or wine vinegar, and 2 teaspoons of sesame oil. The dressing ingredients can be whisked together in a medium bowl, smooth them out, set it aside. You can arrange the lettuce on your serving plates. You can arrange the mangoes, avocados, carrots, bell peppers over the lettuce. And then carve the steak into slices after it rests. Don't cut into it before it rests. Please don't run into it before it rests. Arrange the beef over salad. Drizzle with the dressing. Sprinkle with peanuts. And if desired, you can serve it immediately, or squeeze little lime wedges over the salad. That's pretty good, too, if desired. But that is a very easy sirloin Thai salad that'll taste just like the real thing. Well, we thank you for making A Recipe for a Good Day part of your daily, weekly listening agenda. Now that we are here on Thursdays, I remind you, maybe Wednesday was better, maybe you're just here for your first Thursday. Well, there is a podcast form of this program. You can catch it at Spotify. You can catch it on Google Podcasts. You can catch it on just about any other Apple, whatever Apple has. It goes to the Macs, too. So it is an extraordinary process. We thank you for being with Recipe for a Good Day. We thank our sponsor, Little General Convenience Stores. Smoked turkey breast, $8.89 a pound. Boneless New York sirloin steak, $5.99 a pound. Bologna from Maple Leaf, $4.89 a pound. And from Maple Leaf, it's the skinless franks for $5.99 a pound. Genoa hot, sweet, capicola, just $7.99 a pound. $7.99 a pound. And we have $5.89 from Crackers for their imported ham. And the item that you're not going to want to miss certainly is the steak. But we have the boneless chicken breast, bone out, skin out, all meat, no waste, $2.99 a pound. And with that, we also see the New York boneless sirloin steaks on sale. That's why we featured it so much today, for simply $5.99 a pound.